back on the farm.
Hi there. Come on in and spend a spell, won't you, neighbors? That lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, is ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and just generally speaking to help brighten up your day on this Saturday. And a good morning to you, Mae.
Good morning, Fred. Bless your heart. I hope you're fine this morning. And good morning, friends. Pardon me. It's nice to be back again this morning talking to you. The weather is cooler and everybody seems peppy again, and I know we all sleep better of nights because the nights are wonderful now here. You know, the nights are always cool in August in the Ozarks. And from then on, oh, sometimes right at the first we'll have hot nights, the first of August, but not often. First, I want to wish a happy birthday, although a bit late, and I want to get behind with it this time, to Aunt Sis Williams at the Rest Home in Republic. She was 96 years old last Sunday. I was going to wish her a happy birthday last Saturday and had it on my broadcast notes. But you know, I get my program too long. I did last Saturday, and every once in a while I do. And I raced like the wind when I saw I was running out of time, and I just had to quit without saying happy birthday to Aunt Sis. And she was listening in. And you know, it just made me sick. It just killed me, and I've worried about it all week. Bless her heart. Happy birthday, Aunt Sis, and God bless you, and may you have more birthdays. Make it to 100 years anyway. We've got a wonderful woman up here, 106. Aunt Sis was a Thurman of the fine old pioneer Thurman family around Republic. I think it's Thurman. Yes, it was. And she was born right there within a few miles of where she now is. Happy birthday again, my dear, and we all love you. So many write me every day as saying your program isn't long enough. Year after year, they write this to me. I'll bet I've had 1,000 letters. That's not exaggerating at all. But do you know it really is long enough? They say that long programs are not listened to like you think they would be. As some people say, oh, I wish you'd talk an hour, and I wish on a half an hour and all that. But I know, my friends, you love me, and you think you'd like for me to go on a half an hour, as you say, but friends, you wouldn't like it. That's the history of it. Most all programs of my kind are only 15 minutes, and the news also, and many, many programs of just the one person, you see, on it. A general big varied program with several on it, or a drama or a play, is quite different. But now when you have to sit and listen to one fella, now you know you go to sleep in church and so on. All the big radio managers will tell you this is true. As for me, I'd like it. I wouldn't mind just sitting here and chattering to you till the cows come home. No. But it wouldn't be the thing to do. You would have to get up and get to work and put the beans on or do the dishes, or someone would come in to do some chatting of their own. The other people like to chat too. And so there it would be. You know, people often drop in, and that's good. Here's a little poem about it while I'm on that subject. Things bring up little poems to me, you know. I like for folks to kind of just drop in, to set a spell with me, and maybe eat a bite or two, or have a cup of tea. It might be a neighbor who lives right here next door, or somebody I've just met and hardly knowed before. But anyway, we talk and talk, and then we talk some more. Maybe they borrow something, or get my favorite recipe. But I like for folks to just drop in and set a spell with me. Yes, we ought to set a spell, as they used to say, maybe more than we do. And if we have grief and sorrow, we ought to find comfort in our friends and neighbors. The world is so full of tragedies, so full. And yet someday, in a long eternity, it'll all come out all right. It'll come out all right. As the great writer Ella Wheeler Wilcox said, this too will pass. When I consider life in its few years, a wisp of fog between us and the sun, a call to battle and the battle done, a rose choked in the grass, an hour of fears, I wonder at the idleness of tears. Ye old, old dead, and ye of yesternight, ye dead of yesternight, chieftains and bards and keeper of the sheep, by every cup of sorrow that you had, loose me from tears, and make me see aright that each hath back what once he stayed to weep. Homer, his sight. David, his little lad. Was there ever a more beautiful poem than that by Lizette Woodworth Reese? I remember one time I forgot who, and I quoted it, and Ms. Arthur Galbraith wrote and told me, you know, I'd forgotten who it was. Poor blind Homer, wherever he is now, yes, he has back his sight. And David has back his little lad. Don't you remember in the Bible how King David was so engulfed in grief and swept away with sorrow over the loss of his lad, a mere baby? How he went out and sat in ashes and sackcloth as he ought to right then, you know, what the terrible sin he committed. And yet he was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. But he went out and sat in sackcloth and ashes as they did then and put them on his head, you know how they did, and he grieved and he mourned and he wept and he wouldn't go back in his palace. Finally, a thought that came to him, the whole thing, he arose and he said, he cannot come to me, but I will go to him. And he went in and washed himself and quit his great grieving and was comforted. Surely, surely there is a happier world than this one. There is. There just has to be, friends. There just has to be. And we know it. Well, school starts this week, and happy students will go by my door. But I must admit that most of the high school students, they won't walk by my door. No, they want a car. And my whole street will look like there was a funeral up and down it. They may live only 5 blocks away, as the teachers have often told me many of them do, but they have to have a car to go in. Boys, well, it's terrible. Boys just are ruined. They're humiliated. They think they're off of the social register, and they're simply killed if they don't have a car to drive to high school. Why, they've got a parking lot down there, looks like New York City, where they park their cars. It's terrible, but that's one thing for which there is no cure, you're a boy, and you don't need to try to find a cure. One time I heard a preacher say the devil entered the world in cars. I guess he did. Causes more trouble in the family than anything on earth. But the kids, the smaller ones, they will run happily to school and have a great time. God bless them all. Knowledge is power, and they simply have to have an education nowadays, or they cannot meet life with its terrible demands. They must have schooling and a good education. I want to say hello, as usual, and send my love again to the Berry Tour folks and their big bus going back home from a lovely trip over our beautiful Ozarks. And I'm sure it was a pleasant trip this week and not too hot. We send you our love here in the Ozarks and our greetings, and we want you to come back and settle here and live in God's country with us. It was wonderful to meet you all last Saturday night down at the Kentwood, as I usually do. Hurry back. I was glad to talk to you and sing ballads for you, as I always am glad. Do hurry back. Here's a little poem to tell you how one old hillbilly felt about it. He said, I once was young and handsome, but you ought to see me now. Folks claim I've neared 60. I'll say I have, and how. My back feels like a fence rail. My spirit's getting glum. My head seems like a block of wood that's dense and dazed and dumb. I've got a corn on every toe, stiff joints and rheumatiz. I've long been taking doctor's pills for everything that is. I get the nervous fidgets, and at night I walk the floor. And by the time that morning comes, I'm goofy, sick, and sore. But I sure root for my home here in the Ozarks where I'm from. The best place a feller ever lived, twixt here and kingdom come. Hooray for us. You hear that, Fred? The Ozarks is the best place a feller ever lived, twixt here and kingdom come. That's how one old feller felt about it and loved his Ozarks. It's always great to meet new friends. Last week I met such a lovely woman who's been a listener of mine, she said, for years and years, Miss Virginia Niece of this city, charming woman. And I do love to meet my good listeners. And you know about the okra, first Mr. Onus McCurdy, I think I told you that last Saturday, brought me a fine cooking of the vine okra. And Mrs. Robert Harvey brought me some more of the ordinary okra. And so this week, Mr. Jack Rule of this city brought me a bag of okra, a big bag. I've had okra to my heart's content. I'm full up. I had a wonderful time and even shared some with my daughter. Mr. Rule says he sold $300 worth of okra last summer. I didn't know about that. He supplies some of the big markets here. You who don't eat fried okra as I fry it are missing something. I like it best fried, but many like it stewed and buttered like my good pal and neighbor, Miss Dr. Finkel. who lives near me. And my oldest son, Charlie, likes it stewed, but he likes it any way he can get a hold of it. He raises usually about enough for his family, but I don't know, not hardly enough. Thanks for a nice letter from Ida Peters, one of our Ozark poets at Licking, Missouri, up there where my good friend Dooney McBride also lives. Excuse me, I have to keep clearing my throat, but what's the matter? I sleep with such a wind on me all night. And Mrs. Peters has copies of her latest book of poems if you'd like to write to her for one. She lives there at Licking, Miss Ida Peters. Thanks for the trading stamps, Dooney, and thanks others. Some woman left, didn't leave any name, but left two books full when I got here. Thanks to everybody who, they keep sending me a few. They're going to have that bus now before cold weather. And, well, Viola Wooten, I want to say, don't forget her book either. The dear little soul is bedfast and very ill with muscular dystrophy for years. Viola's not so well now. I'm worried about it. The big Eureka Springs Folk Festival will be the last Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in October. I believe it's the 24th, 25th, and 26th. I may be wrong, but I think that's what it is. They're going to have a fine 3 days program. It's all in capable hands, and they have learned the outs and ins down there after so many years, and they know how to run a festival. A folk festival is one big job. If you don't think so, you just try one. There's to be a big jamboree, they call it, or festival at Cassville, Missouri, October 18th, 19th, and 20th. Their first one, and they hope to make it a yearly institution and event. Ms. Lida Piles is in charge of it, and she's very capable. Good luck to you, Lida. Also, the big arts and crafts fair at War Eagle, Arkansas, comes soon. I don't know just the date, but it's along about the same time as the Eureka Springs Festival. It's a marvelous display, and people come from many states to see it. I don't know what's the matter with me. I can't pronounce anything this morning. We have great things in our Ozarks and something for everyone. And Carl B. Ike, our Ozarkian and booster and poet and realtor and a writer and everything else, he said to you that a lot of people had sent to him for Buckeyes, but he said he's got 42 more. If you want one, you send a stamped envelope. You know, we're great here in the Ozarks to carry a Buckeye for good luck and for rheumatism besides. And he says he'll send you out one if you want one. Carl B. Ike, Deepwater, Missouri. Well, you know, ladies, a Carl, you want to take a big eye. He might be available. He's a great chap anyway. Well, my time's up, and I don't want them to have to shoot me off of this microphone. Someday I'm going to rent me a hall and get out all out of my system, Fred. I really am. And goodbye to you. And Betty's folks over at Exeter, she's coming over this afternoon, I want to tell you. And you're to meet her at Cassville. I expect she wrote you. Betty, crawl out of that bed. I'm coming home right now. I'll see you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.